While the kids are finding their places and doing all those good things, excited to see y'all. I just, was praying about, I pray for you all. Hopefully sometimes I don't wake up in the middle of the night praying for you because that means you really need prayer. But I was getting up in the morning at my normal time and I was praying for you and I heard the Lord say, just remind them that you make a difference. You make a difference. Not just here at YCF, but God has you in places and he sends you to places. And you just, some days you have to jump out of bed and go, ta-da, I make a difference. I am on this planet. God has called me. He has a great life for me. And I make a difference in somebody's life. Amen? Because you didn't get here unless somebody made a difference in your life, right? I did not have stars hit me on the head and realize I needed a savior. It was a person who came to me. And it actually, because I was a little thick, it took a lot of people coming to me and a lot of times until one day it made a difference. So, guys, you make a difference. God has you. He loves you. And you are special. You make a difference. Amen? Okay, I usually start the month off with a series, and I finished last week, and I said something, and I was like, nah, I'm not ready to start the series, because I'm going to take what I ended with and start with today. It makes sense to me. You all look at me like, what is she talking about? Praise God, I know what I'm doing, all righty. But number one, we're going to go to basics. We're going to go back to basics. And you listen, you can never get too far from basics. If you're an athlete, they always take you to the basics. They always take you to the basics. If you're a school teacher, guess what? You know you have to help kids with the basics or phonics. You have to help them on those basics so they can be great leaders because readers are leaders. So you better do the basics. Praise the Lord. So today we're just going to talk about something really basic, and unless you are going to keep your seatbelt on, you're probably going to go, are you kidding me, Pastor D? I know that. Oh, no, baby, you don't, okay? Because this was my life, not yesterday, but I just want to open up some things on basics. Here we go. Elaine, I'm still playing with this thing. I'm sorry. It's wiggling. So if I wasn't so vain, I would just put a piece of tape up here. But I am so vain, and I thought that would look really tacky. So praise the Lord, it wiggles and jiggles here. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about the most basic thing ever, and we're going to talk about validation. So if you have your orange card or salmon-colored card taking notes today, write down validations. We're going to talk about the basics of validation. Okay, and it's going to make really sense in a couple minutes here, but how many of you have ever parked your car in a parking garage? All right, I'm sure you have. And back in the Yorktown Hotel days, which they're renovating, we're going to have our new Yorktown in a couple of years, but you would go park your car, and you would get a ticket, especially if you go to these parking guards. You get a ticket, right? Now, as you're getting ready to leave or before you're going to leave, you have to get your ticket validated, right? You have to take it to somebody or nowadays it's usually a machine, but you take it to somebody and they stamp it, okay? They stamp it. They validate your card, all right? If you don't get it validated, that arm is not going to go up and let you out of there, right? You need to have it validated. So what's this have to do with things? Experts say that everybody needs to be validated. Everybody needs to be seen and understood. Everybody needs to be validated. That's what experts say. So you could say that people need to be validated, right? You need to be validated. And they're going to pop this video, YouTube, up on the screen. And tell me if I have to turn lights off, because I'll do that. This is going to add a little humor. Oh, you can do it without the lights. This is our new projector. It's 3 minutes. You can do it, guys.
I'm here to get validated. You. You are awesome.
Excuse me?
You have an amazing face. You've got powerful features, man. Anyone ever tell you that?
No.
And listen, you look a little down. And it may seem like sometimes people don't understand you. But someday, man, someday, people are gonna see you for what you really are.
You really think so?
Absolutely. You are great.
Need a validation, please?
You are great, ma'am. You have amazing cheekbones.
Really?
Sir, yes. We have a situation.
Where?
Oh my God! Ah,
6 months old.
What the hell's going on?
You've been through it. You know. You've had so much life experience that other people don't appreciate, but you know.
Bless you, dear.
They're not patronizing the shops. They're just coming to see him.
Oh, sir. You're in great shape. Did you work out?
Not for long.
I do, actually. A bit. Yeah. Thanks.
Young man. We are running a business here, not a social club.
That is a fantastic suit. It really flatters you.
You think so?
You guys work so hard. You are the backbone that keeps this place running.
I always felt like no one really appreciated us.
Yeah, I mean, our jobs are so stressful. It seems like most of the times people just don't see it.
No, what you do is so important.
You know, I bet the boss would love to meet you.
You are great. You provide hundreds of jobs, sustaining hundreds of families. That's huge.
That's so good to hear. Most times I feel like people don't recognize that. I'm just the big bad man on the hill.
Not at all. You give.
You know, I know some people who'd probably like to meet you.
Okay. How many of you appreciated being validated? Yeah, amen. It's good to get validated from others, isn't it? And matter of fact, we should want to be those people that validate others. We really should. But I have to say, it's a little bit challenging, especially in these days, because of social media. Yeah. I was at a pastor's meeting a couple months back, and a bunch of us were sitting around talking about all the stuff that we deal with in this culture that we deal with. And one of these pastors, he's been pastoring for quite a long time, and he made this statement. And he said, wow, I would love my church if I didn't know about every other church. I would love my church if I didn't see on social media all the other things these churches are doing and how magnificent and glorious it is. I would really love my church. All right, so, and I was sitting there thinking, yeah, I'm not going to watch social media anymore. But really, there's times that we deal with stuff. Anybody deal with stuff in your life? And some of that stuff causes me to start comparing myself to y'all, comparing myself to those churches there. And sometimes I have to admit, there's a little jealousy stuff going on, right? Because I want to be like somebody else. And then there's sometimes I just don't feel validated. Anybody ever have a day where you just didn't feel validated? Okay, I feel like, man, nobody's listening to me. Nobody understands me. Gosh, I need that guy in that booth to validate me. You know, I've had a couple of days where I felt like that. But you guys always feel so wonderful because you must be the validators, right? No, really, listen, there are days and there's times that all of us can feel like nobody loves me, nobody likes me, I'm going to go out eating worms. That's what my kids used to say. But listen, I have to tell you, now God's designed us that way, but there's a but to it. But God's designed it that way. And before I get to the but part of it, we should, in our humanness, we should encourage one another. We should be validators. So everybody look to the person on your left and give them a validation. All right, now look to the person on the right and tell them something that makes them feel validated. All right, good. Yeah, Hey, you have awesome pink shirt on. That's beautiful. Yeah, amen. Praise God. All right, we're going to talk about, though, not that kind of validation, though. We should be those kind of validators. We're going to talk about the ultimate validation. Everybody say, ultimate validation. Okay, and that validation comes from? Yep. It comes from the Lord. And open up your Bibles. Better yet, just jot this down. I'm going to read this to you. This is a prayer that I'm going to pray for you and over you. It's a prayer that I've prayed over my life for about 30 years. Anybody ever know those prayers in Ephesians that Paul wrote? He'd pray for the people in his congregations. He'd pray for the churches. Okay, and how many know the Ephesians 1? I pray the eyes of your understanding be open, that you may know the hope of your glory. Okay, that's a good one. Write it down. Ephesians 1, starting around verse 16. But this one's Ephesians 3. And this has to do with our message, but I want to pray it over you. Are you ready? Father God, I pray that you would grant us out of the riches of your glory to be strengthened, to be reinforced with mighty power on the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling in us. Christ, may you, Lord, I just pray that Jesus would just, our faith would actually dwell, settle down, abide, and he'd just make his home inside of our hearts. May we be, this is where we're going today, rooted in love. May we be rooted and loved and found secure on his love, that we may have the power and be strong to apprehend and to grasp with all the saints, the devoted people, the experience of that love, the experience of that love. What is the breadth? What is the height? What is the depth of that love? Praise God. And that we may come to know practically through the experience of that love. Amen. Okay, guys, that's a good one. Write it down. Pray it over your family. Pray it over yourself. I've been praying it for myself for years. But let's talk about validation. Let's talk about being validated by God's love. Being validated by God's love. And you can turn over to 1 John 4. As I read these scriptures, how many of you have read something in the Bible and you're like, oh my gosh, that was just put in there? Anybody ever have that? Like, you know, you've seen it, but then God just brings light and all of a sudden it explodes. It's actually, we would call a revelation. It's just something that you really see. Well, this is these scriptures. We're going to go over 1 John 4, just over a whole bunch of them. And I want to tell you, it just opened up my eyes to this very basic God's love and how he validates us. So I hope it does for you. You guys over at 1 John 4? 1 John 4, verse 10. 1 John 4, verse 10. I'm going to find it. Here we go. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved. Yeah. And sent his son to be propitiation, atonement for our sins. Praise the Lord. Jump down to verse 19 now. We love him because he first loved. All right. Praise the Lord. Guys, that's just basic, right? Everybody know that's basic? Praise the Lord. You just know that. It's real basic. You've read it 100 times, okay? Now, y'all that are believers, that are followers, you guys are like the Sunday morning crew. You're the devoted ones. You're the all-in ones. You probably all serve here someplace here. Some of you have been walking with God for a really long time. And you can read that and go, yeah. I know God loves me. I got that. Because it's basic, but sometimes we turn it. We actually turn it. So we'll turn it, and in the first part says, it's not that we love God, but that he loved us. And we turn it, and we go, it's that I love God. And yeah, I know he loves me. I read that one. And we do a different, we turn what should be focused on here. So everybody say, it's not that we love him. But he loved us. Okay. Basic. Now, I was thinking about some of the songs we sing, and we sing a lot of songs that tells how much our love for the Lord. And those are good. I love singing them. And I'm not singing for you this morning, okay? I was thinking, should I sing for them? No, I'm not. Okay, but I'll sing those songs on how much I love the Lord. But then I got to starting thinking, how many songs do we sing where it's about God loves us? And the only one I could think of is, Jesus loves me, this I know. Okay, I sang that one for you, okay? So I was just kind of thinking as this message that we turn it a lot of times. We don't mean to, but we turn it. And it's not that we love God, but that he loved us. Praise God. So when we turn it, this is me, maybe not you, but when we turn it and we just keep it on, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. Sometimes I do it because I'm this performance person. I get into my performance. Anybody like to do performance things? I'll tell you about it. In my mind, it's like, it's all about me loving God and then he loves me. But that's not what that scripture said. It said, it's not that you love him, but that he loved you. And I get into this performance. Like, my performance is, I check off the box. Okay, my performance is that I love God, so I read my Bible. Check! I love God, so I'm going to pray for you. I love God, so I'm going to be nice to you. Check, check. And guys, it's about me performing. Okay, maybe it's just me and the way I was raised and stuff, but I'll tell you what. I woke up after reading these scriptures for many, many years. I woke up and I thought, oh my gosh, I've turned it. That's not the way it's supposed to be, all right? Because let's think about this. What if I got to check off all those boxes? I read my Bible, I prayed, I was nice to you, I gave tithes and offerings, and now God's going to love me. But what happens if I didn't do some of those things on my list? Does God love me less? Right answer. Good. He doesn't. But I get into performance, and you can think, I didn't pray, I didn't read, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. So we've got it backwards. So we're going to flip it, all right? Because it's not that you love God, it's that God loved you first. Praise God. And you know what happens when you get this flipped the right way? It's about God loved me first. And then I have this amazing rest in my life. Because I don't have to perform. When I get it, God loved me, I'm at rest, and then I'm at joy, and then I'm like, this is awesome. So real important that we get back to basics here. Now, it's not that I love God, but that he loved me. I'm going to talk about two characters, and I do mean characters in the Bible, that did this. It'll explain this. Everybody know about Peter. Peter is one of the disciples. So when I think about Peter, he was like, Lord, I'll never leave you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I will always be there for you. And then what does he do? He denies Jesus. But Lord, I love you. And then he denies Jesus because really he couldn't do it out of his own strength. That's really part of it. All right. Now, so that's Peter. But Lord, I love you. I'll be with you. I'll never deny you. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. And then we've got John. John, one of the disciples. Now, when I first read this, John says, I am the disciple that Jesus loved. I thought, man, he's just full of himself. Talk about full of yourself. And then I thought about, no, it's not that I love God, but that he loves me. And John got it. And he said, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. He wasn't full of himself. He was on the basics. He really was, okay? So John's the one that said, oh my gosh, I'm the one that Jesus loved. And he said that, and then later on, he says, while he's on the cross, he says, oh, by the way, would you take care of my mother? Some of you are thinking, I don't know if that's a blessing or a cursing here. But just a little humor. But listen, he loved. He said, Jesus, that's why he gave him his mother, Jesus loves me. Oh, yeah, basics. No, 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 guys. This is it. This is it. Okay, so we got two different mindsets here. We've got Peter, I'll never leave you. Jesus, I love you. And then he turns around and denies Jesus. And then we've got John. I'm the one that Jesus loves. Okay? Because it's not, you can jump in and say this anytime with me, anytime you want. It's not that I love Jesus, it's that he loved me. Amen. Praise God. Let's go over to 1 John. We're going to stay 1 John 4. Let me find my papers. Praise God. 1 John 4, verse 9. 1 John 4, verse 9. 1 John 4, verse 9. Sure, Dee. Find it. Here we go. 1 John 4, verse 9. Praise God. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us. Wow. Did you get the goosebumps? That is beautiful. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. All right. Praise God. So this is telling me God's love is always manifested towards us. Praise God. Romans 5:8. You don't have to turn to it. I'm just going to read it to you. But God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God has already demonstrated what? His love towards us. Didn't he? He did, and he's not going to demonstrate his love. He has already demonstrated his love. That's what it says, right? Shoo, praise the Lord. So when I start praying that prayer in Ephesians, Father God, open up my eyes that I might know the length, the breadth, the height, the depth. Can I experience this love? This is the love that they're talking about, guys. All right, let me give you another scripture. Just back up a chapter, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I'm telling you, this must be some kind of love. Whoo! 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. The Amplified says, see what incredible quality of love the Father has bestowed on us. Who's writing this? This is that John guy. And I believe he must have had a moment like, whoa, guys, what planet did this love come from? Guys, what kind of love is manifested for us? What kind of love is this that's demonstrated for us? What kind of love is this? I think John had a moment. Don't you think? John had a moment. I'm telling you, he got it. All right? So I'm going to give you some things that I hope that'll help you, that you'll go, whoa, guys, what kind of love is this that God has for us, for me, okay? Now, oftentimes we do this. Oftentimes we live like this. If and then. Just write that word, if, and then right over here, then. Oftentimes we live if then. Instead of because then. Okay, this is going to just explode in you. Second, I can do it. I can do it. Okay. Okay, this is the if then mindset. If then. If I do this, this, and this, and I please the Lord. If, let's see, I do this, I show that I love the Lord. If I don't do this, and if I definitely don't do this, then right? Then God will love me. Then God will love me, and I'll be blessed, and I'll live right, and I'll be a nice, good Christian, okay? If. Now, the problem about if and then, there's a big problem about if and then. I can't do all the ifs. I have tried. I grew up in a denomination that was really big about the ifs. I tried. And you know what? What happens if I didn't do something? Or what happens if I did something that I shouldn't have done? Ay, ay, ay. Then, I don't know if God's going to love me. Okay, so that's the problem if we live in the if, then. Okay, but what happens if we were to live out of the because, then? Woohoo! You get goosebumps. You get it. Don't worry, I promise. Okay. What happens if you live that because he loves me, because he loves me, then I'm going to respond to him in all sorts of wonderful ways. Because he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. So what happens if because he has manifested his loves for me, because he has already demonstrated his love for me, because he loves me, then how do you live your life? Practically, experientially. Wow. I'll tell you what. My response, because he loves me, is, God, of course I love you. Of course I'm going to serve you. Of course I'm going to live and honor you in my life. Because it's not that that I loved him. It's because he loved me. Shh. Somebody happy out there? Guys, it's just awesome. Now, if I get into the if and thens, it's like I'm walking on eggshells. Oh my gosh, I'm going to muff it because I can't do all the ifs. And oh my gosh, I know I'm going to blow it. But if I live out of the because, then I actually enter into this rest. I'm like, you know what? This is just an awesome day. I don't care that this happened, that happened. I did that. I shouldn't have done that. Whatever. This is an awesome day because he loves me. Praise God. He loves me. All right. And you know, then I get into this rest and I go, whoa, seriously, this is awesome. Seriously, God, you love me and I love you. God, God, you are so good. Seriously. Praise the Lord. All right, I want to tell you something. You probably all know about the Passover. Everybody know a little bit about the Passover. It's the Old Testament. It's where they take a sacrificial lamb, and they take it to the high priest, okay? So I'm going to talk a little bit about that so you can get the if-thens or the because-thens, all right? Now, back in the day, oops, we're mic'd up again. I'm playing with this lovely thing. Lane's peeping over there going, what's she doing with this thing? All right. Okay. Back in the day, whoa, that sounds good. A family, guess what they do? They would take a spotless lamb from their flock. They would take one that was without blemish. They would take a lamb from their flocks, okay? They would actually take their best one. They take the best one. And oftentimes, because it was going to be a sacrifice that they were going to take to Jerusalem for the Passover, that it was a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice, okay? And a lot of times, they would bring this, the best lamb out of their flock. They'd bring it into their home, into their family, and it would become this pet. Uh-huh. All right, I'm going to tell you a story. I was like, oh God, can I tell him? I don't know. Don't be saying. So it has a little bit to do with this, but don't get mad at me afterwards. So we had some good friends, Mary and Pat, and they were just pet people. And one day, Mary and Pat decided that they had read on, guinea pigs. They were reading up about guinea pigs and that guinea pigs in some places you can eat them. So they decided they were going to raise them because they could make money off of them because they're a delicacy. Come on, how many have eaten frog's legs? How many have eaten snails? That's about as gross as I get. And I really do enjoy all of them. Listen, soft shell crab. That's pretty disgusting. Okay, so my friends Mary and Pat, they were raising all these what did I call them? Guinea pigs, that's right, guinea pigs. And they were just, then they had bunches of them because, you know, they do that. They get bunches of them and bunches of them. And then one day they decided, you know, we should really test this out. Now, number one, if you bring it into your house, don't name it. Because it's a pet. So one day Mary and Pat cooked them up, served them up. And those kids, they had two kids, three kids, I can't remember, were like, nope, nobody ate it, except for Mary and Pat. Okay, now back to my story about the Passover lamb. I thought that was so cute. By the way, they're not doing that anymore. They did just realize it was kind of hard. Okay, so we're back to the pet. Ready? Where am I on my notes here? Okay, so they bring the pet into their family, into their tent, and they make it a pet. But they knew that once a year they were going to go to Jerusalem, right, for the Passover. And the family would gather up all the kids and they'd gather up their lamb, a.k.a. the pet, and they would bring it to the high priest. And then they do all these things. Leslie's looking at me because she's a pet person. You guys know, you're just going to see that forever. Okay, now, because the lamb was going to be a sacrifice on the serious side, its blood was going to be shed. You guys are still thinking of that critter there, okay? Because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin, okay? So the blood was going to be shed on behalf of this family. When they took it to Jerusalem for the Passover, they give it to the high priest. It was going to be shed for their family and ultimately for all of Jerusalem, all of Israel, excuse me, for one whole year, their sins would be covered, right? You all know that? Should have been in my children's ministry. We know that. That's basic 101. Okay. But they bring the lamb, their pet, which they played with, they probably slept with, and they just loved, and it really was a sacrifice, don't you think? It really was a sacrifice. So they bring the lamb to the high priest. Remember, we're talking about if then or because then. And when they bring it to the high priest, what do you think the high priest does? He's looking up under the leg of this and that, and he's making sure it's without spot, without blemish. He's making sure this lamb is worthy to be a sacrifice, right? Okay? He's making sure. He's checking it. Now, even though, now listen to this, the high priest is not looking at the dad that brought that lamb, the sacrifice. The high priest isn't looking at all those kids that brought their sacrifice, right? He's not looking at that. What's the high priest looking at? He's looking at the lamb. He's looking at the lamb, okay? And he's looking at it and he's going, is this lamb worthy? Is this lamb meet the qualifications? Is this lamb spotless? All right? He is not looking at the man or the family because it's not that the man and the family love God. It's that this lamb was worthy to be the sacrifice, right? It was worthy to be the sacrifice. He was worthy, and it had nothing to do with the dad or the kids, right? You all on the page here. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, how many of you know that today Jesus is the Lamb? Jesus was, is. He is the Lamb that was slain on behalf of us, right? And his blood was perfect. So, question, was that Lamb spotless? Was that Lamb worthy? Was that lamb perfect? Yes, yes, yes. Was that was his blood shed for us? Yes, it was, okay? Did God manifest his love for you? Yes, he did. Did God demonstrate his love for you while you were yet sinners? Yes, he did. Because it's not that I love God, it's that he loved me. Praise God. He loved me and he gave this sacrifice. And God is not looking at your if and then. He's looking at what he's done. He's looking at the lamb because he loves you. Praise the Lord. I guess I grossed y'all out. I don't know. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right. And if you get it, God is not looking at all your ifs, then I'll do this. If you get that, then you're going to be at rest. You're going to be at rest. And there's some of y'all, not this church, some of y'all over down there, that you're just striving to do all the ifs and the ifs of, if I do this, if I don't do that, and you have not entered rest. So it's time to enter rest, because it's not that I love God, it's that He loved me first. Woohoo! All right, go over to John 4, verse 19. Got another going for you. Let's do verse 16. First John 4, verse 16. Actually, this is the clincher. This is the game changer verse. Ready? 1 John 4:16. For we know and believe the love God has for us. Right? God is love. He who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So, how many of you, raise your hand, you know God loves you? Right. We always go, it's basic, right? It's basic. Smile. God loves you. The bumper sticker, right? Okay, we know that. How many of you have heard that? You've heard that. You know that, okay? But this verse throws in the clincher, the game changer. It says, we know and we believe it. Okay. We know and we believe it. We know and we believe it, okay? Now, I have to tell you, for years, I knew Jesus loves me. I knew. But I have to be really honest, I wasn't 100% believed it. Really, I wasn't 100% believed it. Because you could tell the way I had to do the if, then, thens, all right? Now, but man, I mean, I knew it and I just wasn't 100%, because man, it was hard sometimes to believe that God loved me first before I did all my stuff. Alrighty. So most of us, what happens, we know God loves us. God is love. And we know it up here, right? We know it up here. I know it in my head. But when you know it in your head, it doesn't give you the experience of the length, the breadth, the height, the depth of this magnificent love in your life. That you actually walk it out and you're like in rest time, all right? Because if you just know it in your head, you're not going to get into that rest. So there's a big difference. Praise God. Now, question is, what changes it from knowing to becoming, experiencing that love? What changes it? What's the switch that gets flipped? Real profound. Believe. That's how you get to, I experience this love. It's believing. It's believing. It's really simple. Okay. Psalm 139 says, I am fearfully, wonderfully made, and my soul knows it. Now, when I was just a new believer, I found that scripture and I said, oh yeah, I'm fearfully, wonderfully made, and my soul doesn't know it. I didn't know it. I mean, no, believe it. All right. So what makes the difference? You have to believe it. You have to believe it. You have to believe it. You have to say, I know God loves me. And okay. I believe. That's it. I believe. I believe that you love me. I believe it. And it's not that I loved you. It's that you love me. I believe it. And it's not that I love you. It's not that's how you measure me. It's not. Plain believe. Now, I have to tell you, it took me years to do that because of my upbringing and some of the dumb stuff I did in my life. It took me years to get to that point where it was like, it's not that you love God, but it's that He loved you first. It took me years. And there have been times and situations that'll come up and I'll start the if then instead of because then. It's a good way of checking if you really believe it. Praise God. Okay, this is a good answer. This is a good test. Don't anybody look at your paper. No cheating. What happens when things don't go the way you prayed? What happens when your boat gets rocked and you even get thrown out of the boat? What happens when things don't go the way you thought it would? I have a bunch of those things. Like, for real? I don't think that was going to happen, okay? And we can be like, God, this is just so unfair. God, I have been devoted to you. I have served you. I even come early to church for crying out loud. Lord, I have been reading my Bible every day. God, what happened? God, I think actually, I mean, there's surely, oh, Lord, by the way, I have led my whole family to the Lord Jesus. Surely there should be some rewards in there. All right. So we can have some things happen. And then we have this conversation with God. And you know what happens? We don't mean to do this. I'm telling you, you really don't. But this is what happens. We almost put God in our debt. Just me, probably. God in our debt. Praise the Lord. Like, Lord, you know, I've been coming and I've been serving and I've been doing this and I did this. So you sort of owe me. Right? Anybody ever? God, you know, I only did this because you owe me. Praise the Lord. No. Okay. We know that's not right. That put God in debt to us. That we know that's not right. Okay. Because it's not that I loved him. It's but he loved me first. Okay. So when I get to the place that I know and I believe, when I have things that throw me out of the boat where things didn't go the way I thought, I get to this and I go, wait a minute. I know and I believe, even though this and this happened, I believe that God loves me. I believe that in his wisdom, he's going to share this with me, okay? And how about this one? Somehow, because I know and I believe, somehow he's going to help me make sense out of this. Or this one, this happened to, okay, no names here. So this happened, how about because I know and I believe that he loves me, even though this happened, it could have been worse. Because I know he loves me. Sometimes we're sitting in our own pile of poo-poo, and all we see is our pile of poo-poo, and you don't understand that God just really protected you, right? Okay, and that you only, and so those people that get angry at God, it's because they know, but they haven't believed. And when you know and you believe, you'll never get mad at him. Amen. Praise God. Even in my worst, got thrown out of the boat, I was never mad at God because I knew he loved me. Amen. Okay, so let's keep on going. How does he love us? How does he love you? How does that look like? Turn over to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John this time. John chapter 17, verse 23. How does he do it? How does he love me? How does he love you? How does he do it? I want to know. I'm not leaving until I figure this out, okay? John 17, 23. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you loved me. We're going to talk about as, the big as. Not, okay, stay with me. Somebody like, what did she say? As, A-S, okay? Praise the Lord. So what is the as, A-S? As God loved Jesus. How does God love you? As God loved Jesus, all right? So how does the Father love Jesus? Well, listen, if I want to know the as, I better understand how much the Father loves Jesus. Because the way the Father loves Jesus is the exact same way that he loves me. And the way the Father loves Jesus is the exact same way he loves you. So I think I better figure this out. Praise the Lord. All right. Again, he's not looking at you. He's looking at the Lamb. Ready? It's not that I loved him, it's because he loved me, and we know and we believe. So, how does he love us? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Turn over to 1 John 4, verse 16, and we'll get to the answer of this. Praise the Lord. Praise God. 1 John 16. Praise God. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believe, we've read this one again, but we're going to read it again. The love that God has for us, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Praise the Lord. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Anybody ever had fear and just torment in your life? Whew, it is not fun. It leaves a bad taste in your life. It makes you bananas. Praise the Lord. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he loves us. Okay, question. What's this whole context of those scriptures? It's all about love. It's all about love. It's all about because he loves us. It's all about love. Yet, when I was back in the day in the if and then, I would read this a whole lot different. It's like I would read, oh, if I love Jesus, if I'm a good Christian, then I'm not going to have any fear. And he was talking later about judgment, all right? Then I realized it wasn't talking about if and then. It was talking about because he loves me, then I'm not going to have any fear, right? So I'm getting a little smarter as I get older. I read this. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I am not going to have fear and judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Okay, as he is, he's love. As he is love, so am I. Because it's not that I love God, it's because he loved me. As he is love, so am I. Say that out loud. Man, it'll make you just feel good. As he is, so am I. I'm loved. As Jesus was loved by the Father, so am I. Man, it took me decades, that's how thick I was, to get this in my head, that God loves me the same way that he loves Jesus. He does. Because as he is loved, so am I. You should be laughing. Oh my gosh, I'm loved just like Jesus. Oh my gosh. Some of you better suck on that one. It's a good one. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God. So again, it's not that we loved him, but that he loved us. So there's no fear and judgment, because as he is love, so am I. He loves me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And again, he's not looking at you. He's looking at the Lamb that was slain for you. And he's done it all for you. So as he is love, so am I. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to give you two more scriptures and we're going to close. Well, maybe one. Two. Two more scriptures and we're going to close. Praise the Lord. Turn over to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. So, how does the Lord love us? As, right? He loves us as he loves Jesus. He loves us. All right. So, listen to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 19. This is where we ended last week, that it just got so big that I thought, oh, I have to do really a part 2. So we were reading this last week. It says, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Did I say Mark chapter 1, verse 9? Some of you are looking at me like I said it wrong. Okay. Praise the Lord. Oh, okay. Mark 1, 9. Sorry. Mark 1, 9, verses 11. So here's 11. This is it. Then a voice came out of heaven. And the voice said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Again, how does the Father love us? He loves us as he loves Jesus, okay? This is a good picture of how much God loves us. What are you talking about, Pastor D? Okay, let me tell you this. When Jesus was baptized, he came up and this voice says, "This is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased." Had Jesus done anything in ministry? Had he done any miracles yet? He was just born. He was just a carpenter's son. He hadn't done nothing yet. And what did the voice say? "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." Some of you are sitting here thinking, "Pastor D, I haven't done nothing. Probably done more not good things, but I haven't done nothing for the Lord." Exactly. Because it's not that you love God, it's because God loved you first. So it takes the performance. I don't know if you're an A personality, you would get it. B's do it too. They all do it. It takes the performance out. It's God just loves you. He loves you. And you don't have to perform for him. But because God loves me, of course, how could I not love him? How could I not want to serve him? How could I not want to just live big for him? Matter of fact, even live more for the Lord. Because it's not that I loved him, it's because he loved me. Amen. Praise God. So any of you that are performance people, you're done. Praise the Lord. All righty. And you know, because God loves us the same way he loves Jesus, because it's not that I loved him, it's because he loved me. Guess what? You're going to do a ton of things for the Lord. You will when you know that he's loved you. You'll do a ton of things for people because I know he loved me first. But it's not about performance. Amen. And you will be in rest. So the day that I didn't do too good, the day that I really didn't do good, I'm okay. I am not beating myself up because it's not that I loved him, it's because he loved me first. Praise God. Okay, last one. Just write down Luke chapter 15. We're just going to read one scripture, but I'm going to tell you, that's the story of the prodigal son. Everybody know the story? Aren't you glad for the story of the prodigal son? Yeah, baby. I like that. I'm really glad for that, okay? I am very thankful for that. But the problem about the story of the prodigal son is it's not just the prodigal son. There are two guys. The older one and then the prodigal, okay? And did anybody ever think about the older one? I'm a firstborn. I probably think about that. Okay. But, okay, I have. And this older brother is sort of like a lot of us sometimes, right? He was the devoted one. He was the devoted one, right? He was in the field. He was serving, right? He was faithful, right? He never went and acted like a heathen. He never was backslidden. He didn't spend all his dad's money, right? This is the older one. He was kind of the good guy, right? Would you say that? Yeah, absolutely. He behaved. I used to tell my kids, you need to obey. He behaved. Praise the Lord. But then we got the prodigal, right? And he comes back. And the older brother's a little miffed. I get it. Anybody would be a little miffed? The older ones gets a little miffed. And he's like, wait, you went out and you played and spent all of dad's money. You're getting a party and they're going to kill the fatted calf for a party for you? Ugh. Okay, he was a little miffed, all right? So he says, I'm not going into the party. I'm not going in there. And then the father comes out and he says, what are you doing, son? And the son just lets loose. I've been working for you all these years. And your son, notice he didn't say his brother, you know, you do that. Your son comes sneaking, slinking, stinking in here, and you're going to have a party for him? It's not fair. How many of you have ever said, don't raise your hand, because we think you're, it's not fair, God. Okay? It's not fair. God, I've been serving you all these years. Praise the Lord, Lord. I've been serving you, and you know I want a baby, and they had a baby. I hear this stuff in my office. Yeah. How about this one? Lord, I've been serving you. I even tithe and they got a promotion. What's going on? I'm miffed. Okay. Yeah. So you can get a little miffed. Anybody ever get a little miffed? Don't raise your hand. You can get a little miffed. Okay. Remember, we're talking about validation. God loves us, right? God loves you. Okay. So did the father get irritated with the older son? Did he say, you ungrateful little brat? I didn't read it. Okay, it's not in there. He didn't. He said probably in the same loving tone he used to the prodigal son. And he said, Luke 15, verse 31, he said, son, you have been with me always. Son, you have always been with me. Right? And all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. Praise God. He's probably going, duh, wasn't it obvious? You've always been with me. Everything I have is yours. You could have. Wasn't it obvious? All right. I think this is kind of a word from the God to some of us, because some of us, all of us, excuse me, everybody in here, that's right. All of you have been really faithful, right? You're the faithful ones. You're here on Sunday. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're the faithful ones. But you know what? You've been serving God. And how about we know and we believe that everything that he has is ours. Okay, he's not looking at us, he's looking at the lamb that was worthy, right? And it's not that I love God, but that he loved me. And it's not because I performed that everything he has is mine. And it requires that I know it and I believe it. It requires simply to know it and to believe it. So how many of you know, based on that scripture, you've always been with me? Don't you know? Everything that I have is yours. All right. So what is it that you need? What is it that you've gushed your heart out to the Lord? What is it that you've had these longings? All right. We're going to pray. Because now I know and I believe. And it's not about me, but he loved me first. And I know and I believe. So close your eyes. What is it? This is question time, all right? Praise God. What is it? Praise the Lord. Praise God. What is it? What is it that you need from God? Because you know it and now you believe it this morning. So, Father God, I thank you for your goodness always towards us. I thank you for your love. I thank you that you loved us and gave yourself for us, Jesus. This morning, we choose to believe. We know it, but right now we make a decision to believe. Praise God. Today, Lord, I ask you for fill in the blank. Tell the Lord what it is that you're asking, because all that he has is yours because he loved you first. I don't know what yours is. Okay, I've got my own things that I go. Is it asking the Lord for an open door, an opportunity, a situation, a thing? Okay, what is it? So let's just go right now. Father, I know and I believe that all that you have is mine, and I thank you for it. I believe it. I believe I received it, and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. It's validation time, and it's not that you love God. It's because he loved you first. Amen. All right, just one more thing. If you're here and you've been listening to this and you've realized, oh my goodness, I don't think I know God. I don't And if I were to ask you, do you have a personal knowing God? You have a personal relationship. Do you remember a day where you prayed, Father God, I know that Jesus is your son, and I believe you sent him to die for me. And Lord, I believe and I ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. If you're here and you'd say, Pastor D, I have never done that. Whoa. But I know, and now I want to believe. Well, it's real simple. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Right? You don't have to do any ifs for the thens. You just call on the name of the Lord, and he'll do this incredible thing in your life, and you can be his forever. So if you're here and you'd say, Pastor D, I have never prayed that, but I want a personal relationship with God and the Savior Jesus, would you just pray this after me? And matter of fact, just pray it so you can hear it. Just pray it so you can hear it. And a matter of fact, we're going to all pray it with you. It's not a complicated 7-page essay. It's really simple, because the Bible says that if you believe in your heart, know and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the Lord, that he took your sins. If you will say that and believe in your heart, then you will have this relationship. You'll have this miracle on the inside of you. And let me tell you, it is incredible the change that he does. Number one, you are a child of God forever. No performance. Praise the Lord. Heaven's your home. And you have heaven on earth and all these great things that God's mapped out for your life. So if you would like to pray with us, with me, everybody say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I thank you that he died on a cross for me. Praise the Lord. I ask you to forgive my sins. And I believe my sins are forgiven. Amen. Jesus, I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. And I believe you died for me. Praise the Lord. I ask you to come into my life right now. And now I'm a child of God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. If you prayed that, all of heaven's going bananas. They got fireworks going off. Not literally, but it says when one person believes, all of heaven celebrates. Man, it's like, because it's not that you love God, it's that he loved you. So they're celebrating, and I would like to celebrate with